saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The police interrogation of Wendy Adelson's ex-boyfriend, Dr. Jeffrey Lacoste, is what we're about to dive into here. And this is so interesting. I had a chance to take a look at it over the weekend. I know, Robin, you had a chance to watch. I think we all had a chance to see some of it here. And this is from way back, I believe, 2012, 13, 14, somewhere around there. This is shortly after the actual arrest and the charges against Siegfried Garcia, Catherine McBona, and I'm not sure if Charlie was arrested at this point in time or not. But it was very telling, because what he's able to reveal in this interrogation is far more than what we're actually seeing in court. And I think it gives us more data points, more information about who this family is as a whole. And what begins as suspicion on him quickly flips as LaCase unloads disturbing details about Wendy, her brother, the entire Adelson family, from Wendy saying life would be convenient if Dan wasn't around, to Charlie breaking about money schemes and even saying he wanted Dan dead. There is a lot in here, and we're going to work our way through it. Let's start out with this. When detectives had pressed LaCase on what he knew about the Adelsons, he recalled one conversation that really did haunt him a lot. He says Wendy confided that her brother Charlie had actually legitimately explored the idea of hiring someone to kill Dan. And I know we heard him say this on the stand the other day, but here's the very fresh way it came out the first time he was asked about it, answering not in a joking way, but in a very chillingly serious, serious way. This is LaCoste explaining that disclosure.
Does it have to be useful here?
Well, let's not put it big. Let's go with what you know specifically.
Wendy had reported to me that Charlie had considered all the options possible to take care of this problem. Put it that way.
Okay.
And when she said it,
when did she disclose this to you?
I don't remember when. But she said it was chilling, because she said it's something confidentially. She said, I think Charlie kind of looked into some options, like literally saw how and why, how you would do this if you did it.
Let me ask you, Robin, on this. I mean, just before we get into more of Jeffrey's stuff, I know you had a chance to really watch this in full. So I want to get your opinion as someone who has investigated people, who has questioned people, who's gone through this with other human beings. How does Jeffrey Lacoste read to you as a person, as being a reliable source?
It's a great question, because there's multiple layers with him. And first of all, I will say he's extremely credible in the content he's providing, in the definitely of the area of leads, thoughts, and ideas for investigators to follow, because if you just watch throughout the video, by the way, I think he would make just he himself a great Bravo series of Life with the Adelsons. I mean, I'm sorry to digress, Tony, but you sent me the clips to watch, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't just watch the clips. I literally watched it from beginning to end. I couldn't put the damn thing down, because he is just such a fascinating character.
Yeah.
Because of this. So his tempo of disclosure, so as a behaviorist, is very consistent. He was very congruent, very forthright when he was volunteering information, which what investigators are doing is like, how fast and freely are you volunteering information that's easy to give? And then when they ask a more challenging question, are you still maintaining that same tempo, that same tenor, the intonation, the voice, is everything maintained in a baseline? Because that's when you're assessing, is there high probability of veracity and truth there. And so he is completely congruent on everything with a few exceptions. And I'll get to that in a second. But so he's very credible in a lot of those areas. Where he loses some credibility is he is under deeply, self-admittedly, the spell of Wendy. Hardcore. Mm-hmm. So you don't know quite whether he's saying things when he's trying to defend her, whether it's out of objectivity or because he even said it, a 1% chance of getting back together with her. So that actually kind of hits his credibility a little bit, but at the same time, though, he's aware of it. So it was a really fascinating read. The thing that really struck me was when he was going through the things he heard Charlie say. Now, granted, Charlie's convicted, so we know it's guilty. And I know where the focus right now is on Wendy and the mother. But what was interesting was he remembered, the first thing that struck me with him, he had such a memory for dates and even times, like without having to go back to notes, or he didn't even prepare because he came right from this cross-country trip right to the cops and started regurgitating information. That was profound. And he even said, I have a really sharp memory for these types of things, except when he's asked, and you saw right there in the clip, do you remember exactly when this happened? And he didn't remember when that really profound thing was stated. So he was truthful in it, but it was just curious that he didn't remember that exact date. So that those kind of things, it's a blip from he remembers dates of everyone except this one. So high levels of veracity with him. So he would be a lead generator. That's what I'd regard him.
So if we put Jeff, Wendy, and who else on an island together, we can make the reality show. I say Bobby Brown. I say bring Bobby Brown back. He was great on the Whitney Houston show back in the day. The Being Bobby Brown, that was a good one.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, just mix them all in. It'd be great.
You know, and Charlie the convict, the dentist who surrounds himself with green berets. What?
Yeah.
What is that about? Have you guys talked about that? What is that kind of dynamic? Why did he do that?
This is talked about in the greater context of the interview. If you watch it in whole, Charlie is always bragging about how he's friends with these green berets and he tends to align himself with militant type individuals or people who have some sort of a military background. I don't know if it's give me some insight on that and why one is walking around bragging about this when you're a dentist.
Right? I mean, the two don't go together, do they?
No.
It's just insecurities. You know, here's pure conjecture on this one. So here's a boy, and I'll say boy because he is a boy.
Yeah.
That was under his mother's thumb for so long, maybe even bullied because being a mama's boy. And so his way of not being a mama's boy dentist is surround himself by tough guys and to try to be a tough guy yourself.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.